Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Kyle Newman on the line with us. Hi, Kyle.
Hello, and happy holidays.
Right back at you. All right, so I have a couple of questions before we start talking about a disturbance in the force. While I have you, and I know I could just...
Sure.
I could just ask my husband, Jimmy Mack, who, of course, does Rebel Force Radio, a great podcast if you're a Star Wars fan. Kyle's been on it several times.
Several hundred times.
Yeah, I guess I should say that.
My favorite podcast.
It's the only podcast. No. All right. So, Kyle, we were talking about the American Film Institute put together the list of 100 greatest movies of all time. And Star Wars rings in at number 15. Not too bad. The original. And a listener, Nick, just called and said he's never seen Star Wars. And perhaps he will watch it over Christmas break. But he wanted to know, and some of the listeners, what order should you watch the Star Wars movies? As they came out or how they fit chronologically? What's your opinion?
I think you can't go wrong either way, as long as you're exposing somebody new to Star Wars and not being too evangelical about it. You're doing the right thing. You're doing the Lord's work. So no matter where you start, you're going to have a good time. I would probably start with the original trilogy and do it in the way George released them. And I know that may sound off. Maybe if it's a younger viewer, I would start with episode one and progress because they're not going to pick up on the context of things. But if you're an adult and you're getting into it the first time, definitely start with the original trilogy and then work your way through it in order of release.
Okay. I think that's what I suggested, but I wanted to talk to one of the experts. And what also happens to you when you watch Star Wars and you think it's a fabulous movie, and Jimmy Mack made me watch it before we got married because I hadn't seen it, and I loved all the movies, but I don't need to see them again. What is inside a person that makes them watch them over and over again, like you, Kyle, and like my husband?
There's a couple things. I think it's comfort.
Yeah.
It's familiarity. People gravitate towards things that make them feel at home and make them feel like they have a safe place. And I think Star Wars does that for many people. It's a very big universe that has room for a lot of people and ideas. And what's great about Star Wars is it also has a spiritual core. And I think people go back to that because maybe they're not finding that spiritual thing somewhere else in their life. So what they do is they found these life principles in Star Wars. And revisiting it helps reinforce it and enrich it. I think there's a lot of mantras and ideas that emerge from Star Wars, the philosophy of it, that trickle into my life and my profession. So that's why I go back to it. It's also become a family, a community of fans. So you're partaking in something. It's tribal, like if you're a fan of a sports franchise. So there's that element to it. But like I said, it's a rich universe with tons of Easter eggs and details and planets and monsters and places to visit. So your imagination is free to play, and that's why there's been so many toys and books and games and movies.
And that's just it. Like, I was, how old were you when you first saw Star Wars, the first movie?
Oh, I was 18 months old, maybe.
Oh. Really? All right. I was in my 30s, so it doesn't bring me back to my childhood, which we all want to go back to our childhood because it was safe, it was easy. This adulting stuff is really hard, you know?
Yeah, you're totally right. So I think that's it. There's that nostalgia factor.
Yeah.
When did it hit you? And for a lot of kids, that's why I said they grew up with the prequels as their movies. So for them, that's where they would say is the starting spot. And for, you know, my younger kids, I'm probably going to see whichever one they gravitate towards. Which one do they have questions about? Which one are they interested in the character or something visual? And then build off of that based on where they're telling me they have a fascination.
You know, I've said this on the air before, and Kyle, I know you're aware of this, but my husband, Jim, has a Star Wars collection with action figures. And when the kids were little, he would let them check it out kind of like a library book. Like you could play with one action figure, but in order to get another one, you'd have to return that first one. And my oldest son, Michael, is 24 now. And when he was a toddler and was walking around, we live in a Victorian house, he was afraid of the front room. So he would yell to Jim, "Dad, what's your favorite Star Wars action figure today?" And Jim would come up with every day a different action figure. So Michael asked him this, honestly, like almost every day for like a year. And now that he's 24, every once in a while, he'll go, "Dad, what's your favorite Star Wars figure?" And Jimmy Mac will come up with a new one. So it's shared, and Dylan loves Star Wars. It's a whole family affair. I feel like I'm missing out on it.
Well, I know, and I've heard that you know more than you let on.
Yeah,
I
maybe.
I know you know your Jawa from your Tusken Raider.
I do.
But maybe it's just by association.
Yeah. Well, it is something for families to share. And what we want to talk about right now is a new project you have. Go ahead, Colin.
In 1978... Lucasfilm made a huge mistake they prefer we all forget. The Star Wars Holiday Special.
Lucasfilm is still...
All right, the Star Wars Holiday Special. Kyle, I can't wait to see this. I've only seen the trailer. I know people who have seen it who loved it. It's called A Disturbance in the Force. You've produced this with Adam F. Goldberg, and this is pretty much based on this 1978 Star Wars holiday special debacle. What's going on?
It's considered the worst 2 hours of television ever made. And we really get into the how and the why. And it's not just about the Star Wars holiday special. You don't need to know anything about Star Wars to watch and experience this documentary. It's fascinating and hilarious in its own right. It's really about how things can go wrong and when you're making, you know, entertainment. And back then, Star Wars didn't invent the variety show. The variety show was a popular format in the mid-70s, and it really didn't appeal to everybody, but it tried to program a little bit for everyone. And Star Wars was nearly plugged into it, and I think that's why it's been notorious to this day, and Lucasfilm never wanted it released again or seen again. It aired once and only once in 1978 on CBS to 13 million viewers. And then it was erased from everyone's memory. Like, we never saw it. And the internet helped bring it back to life so people could share it on YouTube and watch it and sharing it in forums and talking about it. And now the holiday special itself has permeated Disney parks. They do Life Day, which is the holiday within Star Wars. It's their Christmas. And this documentary explores how this happened in 1978 when Star Wars could have been anything. Before George made Empire Strikes Back, he just had a hit movie on his hands. He wanted to keep Star Wars relevant. So he greenlit all these appearances. Star Wars on Bob Hope, Star Wars on Richard Pryor, Star Wars on Donnie Murray, in hopes of keeping it in the zeitgeist, alive. So people will keep going to the movies because he didn't have the toys out yet. And he wasn't sure. The movie's 3 years away. Are people going to remember my film? So he wanted anything he could out in the media to keep it out there so kids would want to engage with it still. So the Star Wars Holiday Special was concocted about halfway through between A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back to put Star Wars back on the airwaves and entertain families and get everyone in front of the TV. And that was where everyone had to congregate in the late 70s.
Yeah.
You didn't have, you know, devices in your pocket. You didn't have a multitude of channels you could watch on your iPad or whatever. It was just, you had 4 or 5 channels, that was it.
Right.
And you had to tune into that. So he said, "Look, I've got everybody's eyeballs. I'm going to put Star Wars here, and I'm going to advertise the toys." It's the first time they're advertising the action figures because they were not ready when the movie came out. So it was a marketing thing, and George was never happy with it, and he didn't have much control once the project started rolling. He was busy setting up Lucasfilm up in San Francisco and Lucasfilm 2.0, you know, the new version of the company and prepping sequels to other movies and prepping the sequel to Star Wars. So he was distracted. And what he got was very unsatisfactory. And it's got all these old-timer, it's got Bea Arthur, it's got Art Carney, and people you wouldn't expect to be involved in Star Wars. And it's somewhat nonsensical. There are some insane, bonker things that happen in this special that you can't believe aired on television for children. It's insane.
Now, you can find it on YouTube. So people, if you haven't seen it, it's definitely worth it to watch it. It came out in 1978. And, you know, in theory, it sounds really smart that George Lucas was trying to keep Star Wars out there, but then he came back to regret that variety show. It is a hoot. That's all I can tell you.
You know what? In hindsight, you may not like the special, but it may have actually served its purpose really well, keeping Star Wars relevant,
yeah,
and keeping kids on the playground talking about it, and parents at the water coolers talking about this movie that was a phenomenon last summer. It kept Star Wars relevant. And I think it served its purpose. In hindsight, you watch it and you go, oh my God, this is a train wreck. Why did you put this in? Why is Jefferson Starship performing? Why does it look? All of it looks horrendous. It's not even a great watch. It's kind of boring. It's this interesting curio. It's a look at what American television was like. And that's what the doc explores. It explores the landscape of late 70s, pop culture, American television, variety shows, the lost history of this movement, and Star Wars was plugged into it. So it's bigger than just Star Wars. That's why it's a great watch, the documentary. It's filled with some hilarious, featuring some hilarious voices. You know, we've got Weird Al Yankovic and Patton Oswalt and Paul Scheer and Kevin Smith and Donny Osmond himself.
Oh, Donny Osmond.
Everybody's in this.
I got to tell you.
Bobcat Goldthwait.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to watch this, but I have to tell you, Donny Osmond was my first celebrity crush, and I wrote I love you about 100 times on this note card, and I asked my mom for a stamp, and she said, I need to read what you wrote. And I'm like, no way. So I ripped it up and I never sent it. I got his address through Tiger Beat magazine. I could have been Mrs. Donny Osmond if he only received it.
I'm glad history turned out the way it did.
Me too. But yeah, Donny Osmond, the late great Gilbert Gottfried. I loved him so much. And he's featured in this. And now this premiered at South by Southwest. Did I just read on your Facebook page that it achieved greatness on Rotten Tomatoes?
We have the rare and coveted. We are certified fresh, and we are 100%. We're rated 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. And this is with reviews from Rolling Stone, IndieWire, Deadline, Hollywood Reporter. Really respected people have reviewed the movie. And no one's saying it's a perfect movie, but critic consensus is you're going to have a goddamn good time watching this. And I've watched this thing too many times because I have to watch it and screen it. I laugh every single time. Out loud. It is great fun, and it's also holiday themed. So if you're around this your winter break, and you want something to watch, it's 90 minutes, it is a hoot. I can't recommend it enough, and I'm not saying that just because I made it. I think it's fascinating, and I love it because of its relevance to Star Wars history. Like, not letting this story get lost in time because Lucasfilm or Disney didn't want it told. We weren't going to be deterred by that. We wanted to capture the story with the directors, the writers, Bob Mackie, the legendary costume designer. There's so many people involved in this catastrophe of entertainment. And we're just really proud that we created this time capsule that speaks to this moment.
All right, I haven't seen it yet. We'll tell you how you can watch it, you can stream it, you can purchase it. But maybe you don't want to give this away. Is George Lucas featured in this? Has he commented on it? Do we find anything out about that?
We definitely have George Lucas's thoughts on it throughout Star Wars' history. You know, comments from him back during the development of it, and featured in magazines and things.
Any comments?
George Lucas commenting.
Any comments on A Disturbance in the Force? Have you heard from him since it's been released?
Nothing on the nothing on our documentary,
okay.
But definitely his thoughts about the holiday special as it's evolved throughout, you know, his legacy, making Star Wars great interview from 87, where he says it's going to come out on video. And of course it never did. It's just disappeared. So we get into all that stuff. Unfortunately, no, we do not know what George thinks of our documentary, but I bet that if George watched it, he would smile. He comes out looking great, I think.
And well, sure. You're
no
a fan.
No one's here to make fun of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one's here to make fun of it or George. We're here to look at it in an objective way and talk to the people who have boots on the ground making this thing. And, you know, all these celebrities whose lives were affected by it that were fans day one and, you know, experienced Star Wars and then were maybe let down by this, or you know, their imaginations were captured by this. It's an interesting array of opinions on the special.
You know darn well that George Lucas has watched this. I'm telling you, Kyle, he has for sure.
Do you think so?
Yes, totally. He has totally watched it. And I just want to tell you, listeners, that if you're into Star Wars, here's the deal. Star Wars fans, they're such a community, and they're so loyal. And everyone should watch this if you can, with your family or by yourself, A Disturbance in the Force. Kyle Newman, I cannot wait to see it. And, you know, I just want to also put out there, it's really okay to be a nerd. There's no need to hide it anymore.
There is no need. It's so different than anything else. We all display our passions.
Yeah.
Right now, I think we're in this moment where everyone can display their passion and embrace it. And you can be into sports, and you can be into Star Wars. You can be into Lord of the Rings, and you could be into hockey. There are no rules anymore. If you love it, embrace it. And I think this is a fun way of looking at, like, how fandom really blossomed back then with this phenomenon of Star Wars. And, you know, that's why we had a blast making it, because we love it. Thank you for spreading the word about our documentary.
Yes, and how can people see it, Kyle? What's the best way?
Oh, okay. So it's on VOD right now. Streaming details will be coming next year, but you'll find it on certain streaming services. Right now, it's Amazon, it's Apple, it's Vudu, Google. So anywhere you can buy or rent movies, all the big outlets, you can buy or rent it right now. It's pretty cheap. I think it's like $4.99 to rent, maybe $9.99 to own. And I promise you're going to revisit it every holiday season. It's one of those, every year, the holiday special comes back, and there's a whole discourse around it. Everyone talks about how this happened. And I think this is the definitive story, and it's worth owning, because you're gonna want to revisit it.
Yeah, I mean, A Disturbance in the Force will be played every Christmas instead of It's a Wonderful Life or National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Wouldn't that be great for you, Kyle?
I would love, I just want, you know, and if you have a little bit of interest, love it and check it out. And, you know, the last great thing I would say about this is this documentary was made independently. We're just like, really, it's like four friends making this thing. And it's a little story that could, you know, we poured our hearts into it. It's made for not a lot of money. So it's a true passion project. It's not like some big studio putting this thing out. It's fans trying to tell the story of this for fans. So it's got a lot of heart to it.
Can't wait to see it, Kyle. And he's Kyle Newman, producer, director. I'm a big fan of Fanboys. I love that movie. And I'm wishing
you
a very, very Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you and your family.
Likewise. Merry Christmas to you and the whole family. Love you guys.
All right. Love you, too. Thank you so much, Kyle.
Thank you.